How's it going today, Lee?
Great. How you doing, Joe?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all.
That's good. That's good to hear. It's been quite a weekend.
I am just about sick of watching wrestling. I've started watching regular things just as like a palate cleanser.
I did too as well. I was just watching a different show just now, actually. So should we talk about Dynamite?
Yeah, hit him with the intro and we'll get right into it.
All right, well, buddy, to Unscripted Violence, it's me, Staggered Lee, along with producer Joe, and we're ready to talk Dynamite. I don't have much news for everybody. The news is that there was a lot of wrestling on this weekend, like we just said.
Yeah, I feel like the news was Mania weekend, and it's, was it the Stone Cold return? Was it Vince McMahon in the ring? Was it Mike Bailey and Bandito winning the $5,000 bonus for having match of the night at the Mark Hitchcock Super Show? It's kind of whatever your big news story of the week is, you know, kind of what you follow.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with you 100% on that. Let's just crack into Dynamite. It was from the Colonial Life Arena in Columbia, South Carolina. And it started off immediately with a match between CM Punk and Platinum Max Caster, who is with Anthony Bowens. I thought this was a great match to start off with. I love the Acclaimed. I love Max Caster. Love CM Punk. And CM Punk really made Caster look good in there.
Yeah, I feel like Max Caster's raps are almost maybe the thing that people look for the most when he comes out now.
And I get excited for it.
Yeah, this one was interesting. I mean, he mentioned the Will Smith slap from the week, just days before.
Yeah.
He mentioned that Punk looked like Hunter Biden hitting rocks, and made a Z-Pac reference, which was a reference to to him shooting his pants during a match, but it was also, that came out during the CM Punk interview.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the big interview. But, in the end, Punk hit a pile driver and then went into an Anaconda Vice that Caster immediately tapped out to. And then Tony Schiavone was in the ring with CM Punk, interviewing CM Punk, asking him what the belt around the waist gesture meant. And Punk just responded with like, come on, Tony, you know, what does this mean?
I thought it was the best response. You know, it kind of could have been like a little sarcastic, but yeah, it was like an actual response. Like, what do you think it means?
Yeah, I liked his response to that as well. And he reaffirmed that he will be world's champion, and made a statement that way. Then we had Alex Marvez, who interviewed MJF and FTR backstage. Smart Mark Sterling was putting up posters, pictures of Wardlow backstage. And MJF mentioned that they don't talk about Wardlow anymore. And then Dax chimed in. Said, hey, Max, you're our friend, but Wardlow is too. And MJF said, oh, hey, he used to talk trash about you guys all the time. And they kind of rolled their eyes. So there's some dissension in the ranks, I believe, in the pinnacle right now.
Yeah, and isn't it one thing I noticed, how Dax's response was very similar to the thing that Sammy said when, you know, the Inner Circle was breaking up. And I was looking at it critically, like, can Tony Khan tell, like, a group breakup story without, you know, kind of that tugging between and it being so close? Like, I don't know what your problems are with him, but we're friends with him. And it wasn't quite them saying they weren't gonna, like, mess with the Pinnacle, but you could definitely tell they weren't on the same page.
Yeah, definitely not. It does draw a pretty much almost a direct parallel to Sammy in that way that they're setting that up. Yeah, I agree with you. There could be a little bit more put into it.
But, I mean, hasn't it been we've kind of wondered where the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle have stood for, God, like, the last 6 months, where we thought they were still a faction, but they haven't really put them together TV-wise a lot.
Yeah, and that's happened a lot. Almost since the get-go, like, they wouldn't necessarily come out together as much anymore. They wouldn't have every single member there, or like when they first started up, and then they kind of started doing their matches, even if they were heels, on their own, which heels usually like to have an outside party involved to help that role. But yeah, we have kind of noticed those factions just kind of dissipating almost, so. And it's about time for a change.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. And the next match was Jay Lethal versus Jon Moxley. Another excellent match. Always a fan of Jay Lethal's. Always a fan of Moxley's, of course. With the name Unscripted Violence, I guess people pretty much grab that by now. But this was a great match. Jay Lethal offered up his hand to shake hands with Moxley, but Moxley slapped his hand away. And the crowd was pretty divided on this, it sounded like.
Yeah, it was an interesting start for the match.
Yeah. And they wrestled both. Excellent match, like I said. It ended ultimately with Mox getting the DDT and pinning Lethal. But after the match, Moxley extended his hand out to Lethal, and Lethal accepted the handshake then. And yeah, it was a great looking match.
Yeah, and it's important to note that as the match got over, Lethal looked upset. And if you look at the continuing storyline where last week he said, like, something's got to be different, you know, they're kind of teasing that something is going on with Lethal. And it's actually something we'd see play out at a different event this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. And, there was a video package about Marina Shafir, who I'm not very familiar with her at all. This was
pretty much... And if they had included some of the footage of her from Bloodsport, like Bloodsport obviously happened after it, so it's not like they could splice it in, but. In Bloodsport 8, if you see her get into the ring with Zeta Zhang, she has such an intensity on her face. And I thought this video did a decent job of giving you that impression. It was nothing like the death stare she had in the ring, but this is really building her up to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, and like you said, her in Bloodsport, she is, and that was the first time I've seen her wrestle, and yeah, she can put on a good show.
It's amazing that the WWE couldn't do anything with her. You know, not that they would have to, but you would think that just her being friends with and close associates with Ronda Rousey, you know, look at her in the ring. She looks masterful. So, like, how do you drop the ball on something like that?
Wasn't she supposed to be the new horsewomen type faction, the MMA version?
She is part of the four horsewomen of MMA with Jessamyn Duke, Ronda Rousey, and yeah, that would be it.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, I remember her in NXT then.
My math is bad. I feel like there's another one, but yeah, they are all close friends and associates. WWE very lightly made that association, but they didn't follow through with it, which is odd, but I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't recall seeing her wrestle much there anyway, so they weren't doing anything with her. She did. And she should have something done with her. She's pretty great in the ring.
Yeah, I feel like she was more featured as like Roderick Strong's wife than anything.
Yeah. Pretty much. That was the drift I was getting to. And well, the next match was the AAA Tag Team Champions FTR, Dax Harwood, Cash Wheeler, versus the Gun Club, which was Austin and Colton Gunn. They had their father, Billy Gunn, on the outside. Being just as annoying as ever, to put it nice, they annoy me as a tag team. I guess that means that they're doing their job.
Yeah, and MJF got an entrance just for commentary, which you saw FTR kind of make a face at when it happened. I thought it was wild that this was a match between the number one and the number five ranked teams. I'm surprised Gun Club is that high in their ranking.
Yeah, well, they seem to get into that ranking through Dark and Dark Elevation, I think, is where they get most of their wins.
Yeah, because they're barely on Dynamite, if ever.
Yeah, you hardly ever see them on Dynamite, or I don't even know if I've seen them on Rampage. Maybe once, I want to say. But during this match, Wardlow was coming at MJF, who was on commentary, and they had several security guards in the way that he beat down on his way down to meet MJF, but eventually about 15 security guards swarmed Wardlow and, you know, finally pulled him away.
Yeah, the way they did it was cool, where he comes in like the front door of the arena. You can see him on the like the area where all the snacks are, and just tossing security aside. And then he actually gets into the actual arena and is like making a beeline for MJF, and they stop him in the way. Now, FTR, I thought, had some really cool NWO inspired gear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did. They had the vests and the trunks on. Probably an homage to Scott Hall is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, but FTR's gear is always top-notch. There's something about it that sticks out.
Yeah, it always looks cool. They always have some type of retro-type look or something to them. But they ended up winning this match, even though there was a lot of interference and blatant things. I think Aubrey should have called a disqualification in this, with Billy Gunn involved during the match. I was kind of surprised not to see them want to uphold the rules of the match so much. But that was one a little annoyance of mine during the match. But yeah, FDR ended up winning, and MJF joined them in the ring to celebrate, but they started shoving him away, and how they were mad because he ejected Wardlow from the arena, and kind of saying, hey, he's our friend too.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job of kind of like adding to that story with this wrinkle. You know, they didn't just show the annoyance when they were talking, but it was actually like played out here when this happened. But they still seem to like regretfully go with him.
Yeah, they still were joining in with him, definitely. Then we had Chris Jericho and the Jericho Appreciation Society, which is Daniel Garcia, Angelo Parker, and Matt Menard. It's hard for me to keep their names straight still. And Jake Hager. They're all backstage. And Jericho's going on how it's just the five of them. No one else is going to join or be able to get in. And it was Menard. He was kind of poking fun, saying, look, they're not even here, looking all around, looking between the curtains on the set.
And this is another thing I noticed where they went back to, they did this like a week or two ago with the same, like, you want to take a look, nobody's there. But they also dipped into another Jericho favorite where, you know, you open the door, you don't think anybody's there, but they are there.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not bad that they've reused it in segments with Jericho, but I've just noticed that it almost seems like there's these tropes that he likes to go to.
Yeah, it kind of is. It brightened Jericho's wheelhouse of things he likes to do to set up things. And definitely, but they go to, is it Hager? He goes to peek around the curtains, and there's Santana, Ortiz, and Kingston, and they go after the Jericho Appreciation Society. That goes from being backstage, it pours out into the ring, and ended up with Jericho hitting the Judas effect on Kingston, and basically the numbers game got to Santana, Ortiz, and Kingston.
Yeah, Kingston did hit him with that taped spinning back fist.
Yeah, he did. He did land that, which made you think that it was going to end, but then ultimately the numbers game caught up. Next, we had Wheeler Yuta versus the American Dragon, Bryan Danielson, who was with William Regal.
Ooh, actually, right before this, we had Jade Cargill and Mark Sterling backstage. And the only reason I bring this up is because Mark Sterling says he scheduled the 30th opponent, and they call in Leva Bates. And Jade Cargill's like, nah, we're not making this a joke. And she waves Leva off, which leaves Mark to say, all right, well, we're stuck with our second choice. And he kind of mumbles Marina Shafir's name. And I mean, Jade doesn't look scared by this at all, even though she definitely should be. And that's the match that we have set up as her 30th opponent. And I mean, I would think that Marina would have to win that the way you built her up. But you're also trying to build Jade up, so I could see it going the other way. So sorry to interrupt. I just thought that was kind of an important little segment.
Oh, no, it definitely is. I'm trying a different way of doing my notes this week. It's totally on my computer. So I may miss a thing here or there. So I appreciate you jumping in with that, because, yeah, that is important.
No problem.
I mean, she does look like a genuine challenge to the champion.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay, then we had the Wheeler Yuta Bryan Danielson match.
I was super excited for this because after what we saw from Yuta the other week,
exactly,
you would almost think that he would have to, you know, it's like he wants to join these guys, so you figure he would match their intensity.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it was a really excellent match. The whole way through, and you were really, there was about two or three different times you thought Danielson was gonna actually have the finish happen, but then Yuta would just keep kicking out. And yeah,
I enjoyed that this really showed Yuta's fighting spirit. And another thing that they did that I really liked was they mentioned Wheeler Yuta's match with Josh Woods for the Pure title at Ring of Honor, because that Pure title, it's got the special rules with the three rope breaks. I believe it was a title that Danielson held, and you know, having Wheeler compete for it, it kind of, you know, gives that credibility of why he should be in the Black Bull Combat Club.
Yeah, definitely. And if he was a champion alongside those two, I mean, that's an easy, awesome faction right there. But Brian, eventually he got to Yuta, finished with the Gotch style pile driver, and then put Yuta in the cross face, and Yuta was not responding, so the ref had called the match on that. Then it was time for the Undisputed Elite, their championship celebration. So it was Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly. And Cole and Fish and O'Reilly all walk out with the championships with tape, athletic tape over them, and marker with their names written in. And just was making kind of a mock celebration. And then it was interrupted by Hangman Adam Page, who drove out in a Tesla and then ran into the ring and started going to town on the Undisputed Elite. Page was just Buckshot Lariat, but Red Dragon pulled Cole out of the ring, and Jurassic Express and Christian Cage sprinted out to the ring and even at the odds with the Undisputed Elite, and they basically got their titles back, their respective titles back. So that's how that little segment went. Next, Tony Schiavone interviewed Thunder Rosa, and Thunder Rosa basically, she cut a promo on Nyla Rose in this. And
yeah, she also got the celebration that got interrupted the week before.
That's true, yeah.
I like the line, pillars get knocked down, but foundations stay standing. You know, claiming herself as a foundation of AEW.
Yeah, as one of the, said something about pillars get knocked down, but foundations remain. Yeah, that was a pretty good line from her on that. And then FTR was backstage, and they were saying how they came to AEW to build a reputation, not to lose one. And they issued a challenge to the Young Bucks. And that'll be a great match to watch, of course. FTR and Young Bucks. Pretty excited to see that.
Yeah, finally getting the rematch, because for all the hype between these two teams meet, like, getting together, they've only competed once.
Yes, and it's definitely a good opportunity to see it again and see how they can possibly top the last time that they met.
Yeah, definitely.
Then we had the Owen Hart Foundation Women's Tournament qualifier.
I was about to say qualifying match.
Yeah, and it was the Bunny versus Toni Storm, who I was kind of surprised to see.
Yeah, because when they announced it was going to be with AEW's newest signing, I hadn't thought of a woman signing, and I was surprised to see Toni Storm come out. And, you know, I was excited for it because she's been good anywhere she's been, and I think she's a great addition to this division.
I liked her in NXT. Was it NXT UK that she was in?
Yeah, I believe she was over there.
And then she was even in regular NXT. That's the one that was under Triple H still.
Yep, and she was also a part of the Stardom and Progress promotions outside of the US.
So, yeah, she's well known all across the globe, really, and she had a great match and really looked great against Bunny in there, and she ended up hitting a move called the Storm Zero and pinned Bunny in the end. So that was, yeah, it's great to have her in AEW.
Yeah, it was a great first match, and I think she's gonna, you know, I don't know if she's gonna win this tournament, but I think she'll go fairly deep in it.
Yeah, definitely. She's so over already. It'd be a shame to see her have just one more match in it and go out. I'd like to see her almost maybe even go along to the end of it. You never know. But then again, I'd like to see Ruby Soho take something as well.
Yeah, hopefully she can get in that tournament too.
Yeah. And then we have Tony Schiavone interviewing Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero. Vicky Guerrero is just as useless as ever in this. And they're just cutting a promo on Thunder. I just don't get why Vicky has to yell and scream, "Excuse me," for absolutely no reason. I never understood that. I remember it starting back in WWE, and it's like even more annoying since it was her gimmick from WWE, I think. But that's just a nerve that she hits with me, and I think with a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely.
And next we had Darby Allin with Sting versus Andrade El Idolo with Jose. And Andrade got a early edge in the match.
Yeah, on Darby there.
Yeah, and kept going, and really Darby was selling it and looking really beat up. He indicated to the ref he wanted to go on, and went on, of course. Sorry about that. I'm reading over my notes here, but Darby attempted an arm bar during the match, but Butcher and Blade, they ran out to take out Sting. Darby hit the coffin drop on Butcher and the Blade and Jose to come out and help Sting. And Andrade grabbed Darby from behind, smashed him to the mat, and pinned Darby. And then Private Party ran to the ring along with the Butcher and Blade, and they started to attack Sting once again. And the Hardys came out to even the odds out. They went out with Matt Hardy giving a twist of fate to Mark Quinn. And then Jeff did a Swanton Bomb. They're both their signatures. And that ended the Dynamite show. What'd you think about this as the closing match?
I thought it was great. It really feels like they're building up to some faction versus faction showdown at some point.
Yeah, I thought it was a great ending. I'm still overjoyed to see the Hardys back together again and doing what they do best, which is tag team wrestling.
Oh yeah, it's been, I think, the highlight of this year.
Definitely. Next we have this week's Rampage that was on April 1st. And Rampage, also coming from Colonial Life Arena in Columbia, South Carolina. I think they tape these in the same night.
They do. I think they tape Dark or Dark Elevation right before. I can't remember which. Then they do Dynamite, and then after Dynamite's over, they film Rampage.
Yeah. Something I knew that they had to have been doing it on the same night. And the announced team was Excalibur, Taz, Ricky Starks, and Chris Jericho. So it's a very Team Taz heavy episode with the match coming up.
Yeah, and they really seem to claim that Rampage.
Yeah, and sure. that's the point, I think, to them having it so heavy like that. And I like that angle that they take on it. But we started off with a great match. The Young Bucks versus Top Flight, Dante and Darius Martin. It's a rematch, actually, from well over a year ago when they met. It ended up with
I think they said 16 months.
Yeah, 16 months about then. Yeah, I know it had been a long time. And it ended up with Dante looking to do his nosedive through the finish, and Matt Jackson pushed him off the top, sent him down to the floor. And Darius and Nick began going at it in the ring. The Bucks got hit Darius in the end with the BTE trigger, which allowed them to get the win over the Young Bucks. But overall, I mean, it was as great a match as I thought it was going to be. And it makes me really look at Dante and his brother and say, yeah, they belong as a tag team. Where his brother's been gone for so long, I was a little worried of how they might look in the ring, having the ring rust and all. What did you think about this match?
I am super happy to see Darius back, because I was such a fan of Top Flight before he left, even though it was like early into the AEW run. But I feel like they both look so much more confident now and just look a lot better in the ring.
Yeah, they do. And it was good to see Top Flight again. And I forgot how much I do like them as a tag team and how much they deserve to be up there in the rankings. Next, we had the TNT champion, Scorpio Sky, Ethan Page, and Dan Lambert and Paige Van Zandt in the ring. And it was basically setting up a... They wanted to set up a match between... who is it? Van Zandt and... who would she be teaming with against Ty Conti and Sammy Guevara? Would it be her husband?
I am not sure, because this is something that seemed to start off between Brandy and Cody and them. And then it seems like they transferred the feud, and it's not clear who exactly Van Zandt would be teaming with. Maybe Lambert. Who knows?
So my confusion as to who they were talking about wasn't unwarranted then. I think they needed a better explanation, maybe a whole new storyline, whole new angle to the storyline anyway, like you said. But we have backstage Tony Schiavone's with Hook for an interview. I was kind of like, oh cool, Hook in an interview, I'd like to see this. And Danhausen comes in before the interview could even start, and he tries to do the little curse thing he does to Hook, but Hook just walks away. Danhausen acts like Danhausen, but he acts surprised that his curse doesn't work. And I thought that was kind of a garbage little segment myself.
Yeah, at least they're showing some kind of like dimension to Danhausen. I'm not a fan of his, but you know, they're showing different sides of him, which I guess I can appreciate. Like, I don't mind Orange Cassidy, and I feel like his gimmick and Danhausen's are not the same, but like almost kind of close, to where it's like, all right, I guess I can see how somebody might like him.
Well, him being associated with Orange Cassidy is a good association, I think, for his character. It's just I've yet to see the guy wrestle. I've yet to see him in the ring. Until I see that, I don't really know how I feel about Danhausen fully. But this segment with him, I'm ending up is where they're going to go is having Hook squash Danhausen in the end is where I'm seeing this leading up to.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
And next we have the House of Black, which is Brody King, Malakai Black, Buddy Matthews versus Evil Uno and Stu Grayson from the Dark Order and Fuego del Sol. And that was an interesting pairing, I thought.
Yeah, I thought the House of Black looked really good in this match. You know, they just look like beasts. Uno and Grayson, this is the first time I thought they really stood out in the ring, because I know they're good wrestlers, but it almost feels like they're kind of, you know, buried in that Dark Order setup.
Yeah, definitely. And the Dark Order, Stu Grayson and Evil Uno, they're a great, love what they do. So this made the match really watchable to me. Fuego del Sol's he's a talent in himself too. Like, he's not untalented. If he was, I would scoff at this a little bit, but he plays his part and he plays it well, I think. And it ended up with Fuego getting kicked and pinned by Black, but it was pretty much a match dominated by the House of Black the whole way through.
Yeah, and these guys really should be presented as bruisers. You know, they've got that cool entrance. They're just size. They're all huge guys. So,
yeah, I love their entrance, and I love the music that they play during their entrance, which has been about 3 or 4 different songs that I've counted so far.
Yeah, everything about their presentation is great.
Yeah, definitely. Next we had the Young Bucks backstage, and basically they accept FDR's challenge for next week on Dynamite. So there'll be another Bucks FTR match.
Yeah, and what I liked is they kind of described the current, you know, setup for FTR. But it's funny because the Bucks have also held those same belts, so they were describing FTR but like referring to themselves, and that made this matchup all the more interesting, just how decorated a champions they are.
Right, that did add to it quite a bit. After this we had another Owen Hart Foundation Women's Tournament qualifier match. It was Jamie Hayter, who was with Rebel, versus Sky Blue. I wasn't too surprised at who was going to come out winning this one. I was surprised that Blue was in there at all, honestly. She's just not up to that level that they are putting her at, I think. And that's not to say that she's totally talentless and I don't like her, because I see a lot of talent in her. It's just I'm not sold on her yet.
No, she's still got time.
Yeah. And then we come up to the main event, which will be for Team Taz, Powerhouse Hobbs. And he is against Keith Lee. Keith Lee's entrance is pretty cool, I think, and it's not too different than what we knew of him in NXT. This turned out to be quite a war of the big guys here.
Yeah, definitely. Like when they were building this up on Dynamite, I thought it was interesting how you're setting up this big man battle, and this was something I was interested to see.
Yeah, and eventually it came down to Hobbs ended up power slamming Keith Lee, which looked amazing, because you actually see the two back to back, and Keith Lee is compared to Hobbs, he makes Hobbs look kind of small, does he not?
He definitely does.
Yeah, it was crazy. So that, and he sold on that and how it took it out of him. And then Taz and Starks ran to the ring with the steel chair, and Lee punched the chair out of Starks' hands as Starks was trying to come into the ring with it. And then Swerve Strickland came down, and Hobbs hit what they're calling the last will and testament spine buster on Keith Lee. Then Keith Lee comes right back with a jackhammer and was able to get the W on that one. And after the match, Starks and he took Strickland, threw him through a table. In the ring, you got Hobbs and Starks. They're double teaming Keith Lee, and they set up a table in the corner, and Hobbs ended up spearing Keith Lee through the table. And that's how we went out on Dynamite.
Rampage. I feel like they're going to be setting up some kind of tag match between these four.
Yeah, it certainly would seem to make the most logical next step to this feud.
Definitely.
Can't wait to see that. Overall, both shows, I enjoyed pretty much every match I saw. I can't think of too much I didn't like that I haven't already expressed. So I give it 3.5 chair shots for the week.
Yeah, there was very little filler on this. I'm going to give it 3.75 because the Yuta Bryan match really stood out for me.
That was a standout. And I really, wow, it is hard for me to think of wrestler of the week, but I have to go with Malakai Black and the House of Black if I could throw them all in there.
Okay, I'm going to give it to Wheeler Yuta because I feel like that fighting spirit he showed shows that he belongs at least to be considered for the Blackpool Combat Club, and he's like one step closer to getting in.
It's definitely a great pick, and he was a standout as well. What are we covering next? We were going to do a bit of the GCW, I was thinking.
Yeah, we still got to figure out how we're going to cover these GCW shows. I'm still getting notes together from this weekend. There's been so much playing to watch.
I still am, too. We're under a lot as far as wrestling's gone this week, guys. But, man, we appreciate you guys listening to us and supporting us. Don't feel afraid to add the Facebook group. Unscripted Violence, Pro Wrestling Talk. You type that into groups, you'll find us. It'll have the same picture there. Just join and let us know your opinions and what you'd like to hear more of.
Yeah, subscribe, like, rate, review wherever you can.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll be back with some form of GCW. We might just do a brief overview of the shows, or Joe and I are good at coming up with things. We'll come up with something.
Yeah, we'll definitely figure that out to get you guys the best coverage.
Definitely. And until we talk to you then, we thank you for supporting us once again, and you guys have a good week.
Have a good one, guys.